I'm getting the hang of this. Don't worry. So this is a pretty crazy week this week. We moved into the parsonage on Monday, and so it's been pretty hectic between lightning striking our cable and the movers forgetting our bed. It's been a busy week. If you moved, you might be able to relate. So many of you have stepped up and done so much to help us during the last week, and we really appreciate that. I just wanted to say that before we dig into the word, so thank you. It does mean a lot to myself and Irene, my wife, who's sitting up there, and Lillian. You probably heard her during the service, but we certainly appreciate that. Before I read the scripture, I do want to give a little background. So we're going to be reading from Luke 4, verse 16 through 21. And Luke 4 happens, it's at the beginning of Jesus' public ministry in the Gospel of Luke. And Luke has it where Jesus returns to his hometown of Nazareth. And I didn't plan this, right? But it just so happened, right? I am coming back to Kingsport. I grew up here. I graduated from Sullivan South in 2008. So I thought that, you know, that seems like a good fit. If you read further down in Luke 4, though, you'll see that the people of Nazareth, how they responded to Jesus. So they didn't like what he was preaching, so they ran him out of town and tried to push him off a cliff. So we haven't done that yet, and that's good. So as long as we keep on that track, I think we'll be all right. Hey, there you go. Sure. So I'll be reading today from Luke 4, verses 16 through 21. Jesus went to Nazareth where he had been raised. On the Sabbath, he went to the synagogue as he normally did and stood up to read. The synagogue assistant gave him the scroll from the prophet Isaiah. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to liberate the oppressed and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." He rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the synagogue assistant, and sat down. Every eye in the synagogue was fixed on him. He began to explain to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled just as you heard it." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I said this a couple weeks ago when I was preaching. If a tree falls in the woods and no one's around, if you don't say that when after you read scripture, are you really a Methodist? I mean, I don't know. I'm not willing to find out. So, in case you didn't know, or you missed it, right, this is 4th of July weekend, right? It's a time when we celebrate freedom in the United States. It's a time when we can enjoy the gifts that we have here, and as we heard, to celebrate without fear of reprisal. You see, even I have been known to celebrate. So that's a picture of myself and our daughter Lillian. We were in Colonial Williamsburg last year at this time. If you've never been, it's a pretty neat place to go on the 4th of July. I'm glad you're here, though. But on the 4th of July, it's a pretty neat place. They have all sorts of celebrations and fireworks. And one of the things that struck me was that there were so many people that showed up. I mean, it was packed. And it got me thinking that most people, right, most Americans probably celebrate the 4th of July. Is there anyone who's not celebrating the 4th of July? Right. So most people do. And I think that it's, if you look across cultures in all the world, it's more of a common human thing that people celebrate freedom. Most countries and cultures have some kind of celebration of independence and freedom, whatever it may be, for their own country or their own society. So I think that gets to kind of the heart of what we're looking at in the scripture, because the main focus is on that text from Isaiah, verses 18 and 19, where Jesus reads from Isaiah. And if you look into the scripture, right, it's Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2. If you don't believe me, it's in there. You can check it out. But Jesus is reading from Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2. But if you look at that, that passage where Isaiah is prophesying in particular, it goes back even further to the Israelite civil law. So the basic laws of Israel. And that's in Leviticus 25, verses 8 and 10. So we'll just read it really quick because the Bible explains a lot better than I will. So it says, "In addition, you must count off 7 Sabbath years, 7 sets of 7 years, adding up to 49 years in all. Then on the Day of Atonement in the 50th year, blow the ram's horn loud and long throughout the land. Set this year apart as holy, a time to proclaim freedom throughout the land for all who live there. It will be a jubilee year for you when each of you may return to the land that belonged to your ancestors and return to your own clan." When Isaiah referenced that through chapter 61, verses 1 and 2, what he was talking about there was the year of Jubilee, which we see there in the Leviticus passage. The year of Jubilee was designed to provide a certain amount of equality across the land. In ancient Israel, if you accrued a debt to someone, rather than, you know, losing your house, right, or your car, or like, or having just being in mountains of debt, the society had a system where you could work off that debt. So essentially what you do is either the head of the household or someone in the family would become a slave to whoever they owed the debt to, and they would work until they pay that debt off. And it might sound a little harsh to us, but this was really kind of a gracious act of an ancient society, right? They could have just killed them. So this is designed as kind of a liberating thing. And what the year of Jubilee is that it basically cancels out all that debt. It sets people free and lets them go back to wherever they came from. So that's a big thing. And Jesus is referencing that. And it's interesting that he chooses that passage to read. Because what he's essentially saying when he says then in verse 21 that he's fulfilled that scripture is that he is bringing that about in Israel in that time. That Jesus is the fulfillment of the year of Jubilee for all time. That's essentially the claim that he's making. And I think when we read throughout the rest of the Gospel of Luke, we see that he does these things. He preaches good news to the poor. He frees prisoners. He gives sight to the blind. He heals the sick. We can read all that in the scripture. And I think it's easier, it's difficult for us sometimes to understand what that means for us today. How does this directly relate to us today? Because we see it evidenced in Luke. But what does it mean for us? So I think on the one, we have to acknowledge the reality that we are all, in a way, slaves to sin. And I'll explain. So have you ever been in a situation where you got into a place and you couldn't get out of it on your own? There's nothing you could do to get out of that situation. So the one picture there on the left is Camp Merrill. That's up in Dahlonega, Georgia, in North Georgia. It's the second phase of Ranger School, U.S. Army's Ranger School. I was there in 2013, and there's a lot of patrolling throughout that. So you go and basically walk around the woods at night. It's a lot of fun. And we were walking, it was very dark, right? And there was a guy in front of me, and I was watching him, right? We were walking along a path. It was pretty clear path, but it was really dark. And so I don't know if he fell asleep or what, but I was watching him, and then he just kind of, you know, walked off, and then, whoa, and then he falls off the side of a cliff, right, about 10 feet. It wasn't bad. He wasn't hurt, probably because he was asleep. And what we had to do is we had to lower a rope down to get this guy back up top of the cliff. There was nothing he could have done at all to get back up to where we were. The second picture is of Storm King Mountain in New York. That's about 3 miles north of West Point, which is where I graduated from in 2012. And when I was a junior or senior there, there were two freshmen who, when you're a freshman at West Point, you don't have a lot of freedom, a lot of opportunity to leave. So you kind of make your own fun, right? So these two guys, intrepid explorers, decided they were going to go hike and climb to the top of Storm King Mountain. You can see it's not an easy climb to do. It's pretty sheer. But they hiked along the railroad tracks. You can kind of see the train. And then climbed about two-thirds of the way up the mountain and then got stuck there. Yeah, a storm rolled in, and they didn't plan, they didn't bring any equipment, so they kind of got stuck on the side of the mountain. They had to bring in rescue helicopters. It was a pretty big deal, and they got in a good bit of trouble because they weren't supposed to leave. But the idea is that sometimes we get ourselves in situations that we cannot get ourselves out of. It was the same way in ancient Israel when you accrued a massive debt that you could not get out of, and same way for us today in our spiritual lives with the burden and bondage of sin. Have a couple scriptures here just to illustrate it. Ecclesiastes 7:20, not a single person on earth is always good and never sins. And then John 8:34, Jesus says, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave of sin. So basically, all people occasionally, right, even the best of people occasionally sin. And if you sin, then you become a slave to sin. Paul says in Romans 7, 21 through 24, I've discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart, but there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Sometimes that happens to us. We get trapped in this feeling of sin. But there's an answer, right? Paul says in verse 25, thank God the answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. And then he says later in Acts 13, 38 through 39, therefore, my friends, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Through him, everyone who believes is set free from every sin. As Jesus said in this passage in Luke that we read, he has come to set people free. He has come to give sight to the blind. And a lot of people interpret that as a physical freedom, which he does, but he also gives us spiritual freedom. He has come to set us free from sin in our lives. So I like to kind of close it all out with kind of an action, something that we can do to take away, to be not just hearers of God's word, but to doers also, to take what we hear and believe and to put it into action, because that's the basis of Christian discipleship. It's active. It's action. It's going into the world and doing. And so you see a quotation up there. It's a little small, but it's from John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, and he wrote this in a sermon in the mid-1700s, and he said, allow that humanity is wholly fallen and you are so far a Christian. So basically, if you believe that there is sin and that man cannot get to God on their own, then you are so far a Christian. Deny it and you are but a heathen still. Some good 18th century language right there. And it's hard, it might sound a little harsh, but the point that John Wesley's making is that if we don't even know what the problem is, then we will not know what the solution is. If we don't understand the gravity of the problem, not just in the world around us, because I think we can look out in the world and see brokenness and sin, but the gravity of the problem in our own lives, then we won't know how radical the solution is. That Jesus comes to set us free from sin, and not just from the consequences of sin. He doesn't just set us free from sin so that we go to heaven and avoid anything bad, right? He sets us free from the power of sin in our lives, the power of sin to control you. He sets you free from guilt, from shame, from all of the things that go along with it. And so as we move into communion today, that's what Jesus calls us to remember his sacrifice on the cross and how it sets us free. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Repent of their sin and